My name is Cameron Mills, and I am 19 years old. Today is September 22nd, 2019, and I'm speaking with Chris Mills, who is my older brother, who is 21, and we are recording in Blacksburg, Virginia. So, Chris, are there any positive moments or memories from your life that you think shaped who you are today? Are there negative events or memories that you think shaped who you are today?
That's an excellent question, Cameron. I mean, I think overall, given how young I am, I've had, you know, some really good positive experiences in life, like coming to Virginia Tech and making it into the School of Business, some other things like that that were kind of, you know, big accomplishments, making Eagle Scout at age 15. You know, those were some big accomplishments, shaped who I was on the positive end. Of course, there's been some negative experiences shaped who I am, but honestly, I find it unhealthy to dwell on those. If you just look at the positive in life, I find that oftentimes you become much happier.
That's great. I think personally, I also try to dwell on the positive moments. For example, winning a state championship this past spring with Kat. And Chris, you're also a state championship winner as well, right?
Yeah, I'm really excited that all three of us got rings. It's a huge accomplishment for the family. Definitely one of the best memories is sitting in the stands watching y'all win, because I know that you were cheering me on when I won 2016.
Yeah, so that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Have you ever committed a random act of kindness?
Of course. I think most acts of kindness are random. You know, like holding the door for someone, or, you know, tipping a waitress, even though, like, you know, over the normal amount you would normally tip. Even if it's small, a random act of kindness doesn't have to be big. You know, it can be something small. It's the gesture or the meaning behind it that counts.
That's true. Can you tell me about one of the people who has been the kindest to you in your life?
Well, I'd probably have to say that our parents have been some of the kindest people to me. They've been extremely generous, you know, helping me with, you know, tuition bills, helping me with rent, helping me with fraternity dues, helping me with the nice truck I have now. You know, they've been extremely generous to you as well, Cameron. They do us right all the time. They've raised us well. So I'd have to say our parents are probably the most generous and the kindest to us.
I agree. They're always there for us and just really make sure we have everything we need to be successful. We're definitely blessed to have them. What do you feel most grateful for in your life?
This is going to sound kind of cheesy, but that's because it is. I'm just grateful for every single day I get on earth. You know, when our grandma passed away 2 years ago, it kind of really reined in how things can kind of turn on a dime. She was super healthy, unfortunately contracted lung cancer, and it took her pretty quick, and it just really opened my eyes and, you know, how fragile life is. You know, when you're a teenager, 16, 17, 18, even 19 to some extent, you think you're invincible. You know, you drive fast, you know, you make irresponsible decisions because you don't think that you can get hurt. And I think honestly, that really brought me down to earth. So every day that I get to live is a great day, you know, and I think I'm most grateful for that.
That's great. And grandma died when you were a freshman in college at Virginia Tech, where I am now.
Yes.
How did that affect you and your school?
You know, it was kind of tough being alone. And honestly, I don't know if I cope with it the best, but I don't really think anybody at that age does. You know, I got over it, but it was definitely a trying time for me. And I think it shaped me as a person, throwing back to your previous questions about a negative experience that shaped my life. Like I say, I like to not dwell on negative experiences. However, I definitely learned a couple things about, you know, dealing with adversity through that experience as a freshman.
Yeah. I'm not sure I could really focus on my schoolwork as well with that going on. So that would be very difficult. Okay. What are some of the most important lessons you've learned in your life? How did you learn them?
Some of the most important lessons, I'm a frequent student enrolled at the School of Hard Knocks, so I've learned a lot of my lessons through mistakes being made, because you know how stubborn we are. The yes, Mills family is a very stubborn family, so you know, you can give us advice, but we're probably still gonna make the mistake. Some of the biggest lessons I learned, I guess the first one would be being on time. You know, I think being prompt and poignant is important. And I think I learned that through the countless times, you know, I've been late and been embarrassed by being late. And I think our parents did a good job of instilling that in us. I think another important lesson is being kind to people, even if they are mean to you. The golden rule is always a good rule to follow. I mean, when push comes to shove, you know, it's always good to be the bigger man in a situation where there's strife. I think another big lesson would be to solve problems one step at a time, or as Dad would say, one ground ball at a time.
As we are a big lacrosse family.
As a lacrosse reference, I think that's a huge lesson to learn as well, because when you have a big problem, it can seem overwhelming. And I don't know about you, Cameron, when I get overwhelmed, I tend to shut down, and that's not good. So if you compartmentalize problems and work through each solution as a small part of a whole, that definitely makes solving complex issues a lot easier.
Yeah, certainly. I know I've used the one ground ball at a time kind of methodology quite a few times in my short 4 weeks here at Virginia Tech.
Yeah.
Definitely been go, go, go. So I appreciate, you know, that idea helping me really compartmentalize the things I need to do and when I need to do them.
The best way to solve problems is just to focus on, number one, the things you can't control instead of what you can't, and breaking down a problem into smaller parts. It's always better, like this assignment you have to do.
Yes.
You know, you just have to break it down into smaller parts, and it'll become a lot easier for you to get it done.
Yeah, I agree. Can you tell me about someone who had a big influence on your life? What would you tell me about some of the most important lessons that person taught you?
Okay, so besides our parents, mm-hmm. I'd say someone who has indirectly taught me a lot is our grandpa Roger. You know, he spent a lot of his life being upset and being mad, and I think I've learned through, you know, how he's shaped himself recently, how if you soften your heart and, you know, become liable for your mistakes, you ultimately can mend even a extremely broken relationship. And I think that that's an extremely important lesson that I've learned just by observing him and how he's interacted with our family. So I'm really glad that he's turned himself around.
Yeah. And I think some of his issues in life maybe stem from his time in war.
Oh, absolutely.
Do you think?
I mean, yeah, he's a Vietnam vet, and he definitely suffered a lot of...
He went when he was, what, 18?
Yeah, 18.
So, like,
he got drafted, and then he spent time overseas at a time where they didn't really understand how traumatic experiences, like jungle warfare, could really warp someone's brain. And so he came back and never really got help until recently, and, you know... So it's he had a tough life. He had really tough cards dealt to him.
But, along with being adopted.
Yeah.
And living in a pretty poor family.
Yeah, but he turned it around recently, and we're just grateful for that, I guess.
Yeah. I think acknowledging mental health is a very important issue in today's society, that, like, especially with veterans.
Absolutely.
Because they go through so much. And, like, in the book Unbroken, where Louis Zamperini, like, came back from war and really suffered a lot and lashed out at his wife and would have horrible flashbacks and stuff. So it's really important, I think, that, like, veterans and anybody struggling with mental health gets help.
Of course.
So can you talk to me a little bit about your memories playing sports in high school, since they're such an important part of your life?
Yeah. you know, I wasn't really that athletic of a kid growing up. I was really small. You know, I was the smallest kid in class. I'm not small anymore, thank the Lord, but...
Your football career?
Yeah, I wanted to be a football player when I was a little kid, but I, like, you know, 4'9", 80 pounds, I wasn't really cut out for it. I played one season and got my bell rung a few times, and I think I learned my lesson, you know. You know, you grow up listening, oh, you can be anything, you can be anything, but honestly, that just, that just wasn't in the cards, you know. Some kids grew up to be astronauts, and some kids grew up to be football players, and it wasn't going to be me. But I was encouraged to do a myriad of sports by my parents, and thank goodness I followed their advice. I was enrolled in youth lacrosse as a kid, and it was one of the greatest decisions I ever made. Honestly, I learned a lot about teamwork, a lot about, you know, you get in what you, you get out of it what you put in. You work hard at practice, you'll get better and you'll play better, mm-hmm. you know, and that transferred into high school. I played lacrosse through middle school into high school and ended up winning a state championship ring, something I never thought I'd achieve in that sport when I first started playing. So it was an extremely impactful choice. I played, I ran cross country 3 out of the 4 years of high school. That was amazing as well, you know, because it's a different type of sport than just a team sport. You know, you're racing yourself. It's all about self-motivation. And I think that was also something important. And then honestly, I swam the last 2 years of my high school career. And I think that was really important as well, because I tried something new, you know.
You had never swam before.
I'd never swam before.
You went out for the team.
Decided that maybe it was time to try something new. My junior year, I decided not to run cross country, and instead of just lazing around and not doing anything, you know, it's always better for me at least to be active, doing mm-hmm. something, exerting my energy. I do better work that way. So I decided to try swimming in the wintertime to make up for the fact that I hadn't done anything in the fall. And that was also a great experience, because I learned a lot about, you know, overcoming your fear of something new, the fear of change. I don't really particularly like change a whole lot. So it was helpful for me to really branch out in that way. So, I mean, I think it's important for almost every kid. They should be playing sports. You know, they should be learning how to interact. You know, even if you're not the most athletic, you should be part of like a group and learn how to interact, because you learn teamwork, you learn things about yourself, you learn how to solve problems in a group. And I think that's extremely important. So I can't thank my parents enough for exposing me to sports.
And your sister.
And my sister. Well.
Who got the whole entire family into the game of lacrosse.
That's fair.
Starting at the young age of second grade.
That's fair. That's fair. I would have never played if it wasn't for you. So, shout out.
But there are some negative sides to sports. Can you tell me a little bit about some of the negative experiences you've had?
Yeah. You know, playing lacrosse, it's a contact sport, obviously. And, I mean, there are injuries here and there, you know, that really stunk, having to deal with, you know, getting hit with a metal pole all day long. So, you know, there's that aspect, but also given that it's a contact sport, you know, I suffered a pretty bad concussion at one point. I know you've also dealt with concussions.
Yeah.
And how they affect everything, every aspect of your life. And, you know, those are really tough. And I know a lot of research has been done into concussions lately because, you know, it's because of the National Football League and all the controversy surrounding that. And I'd like to just say that, you know, concussions really are as serious as everyone says they are. They can really ruin a good part of your life. They cause you to be a different person. You act different. You think different. It's cloudy. It's hazy. You know, it's just not a good time. And severe hits to your head can really leave a lasting impact on your life.
Can you tell me a little bit of how you felt when you had your concussion?
It was like out of body. Like, I feel like I wasn't in control. You know, I'm a stubborn kid, so I honestly thought I was fine. I didn't want to follow the protocols. The concussion made me more belligerent. It caused me to lash out more. It caused me to feel badly. You know, all I wanted to do was go outside and enjoy the sun with my friends on the field. However, I was stuck inside. You know, I wasn't allowed to watch TV. basically had to sit in a dark room all day while I recovered, and that really sucked.
It kind of makes you feel helpless.
It makes you feel helpless.
Knowing that there's nothing you can do.
Absolutely.
And it just, you have to just wait it out.
You know how we are, you know, I felt boxed in. I don't like that. And obviously my altered state of mind, I came back to school fairly quickly, you know, in the interest of not getting too far behind. But it was honestly kind of a fruitless task because, you know, I started taking some tests and some quizzes and I was performing very poorly, but that's just because I couldn't remember anything. You know, I was all scrambled up.
Or really like focus.
Yeah, I couldn't focus. I wasn't retaining any information. It was really tough. And I think you know that better than anyone, given your experiences over the last 2 years with concussions. So I think Catherine has even experienced that with her concussion as well. So,
I agree.
I mean, but that's the price you pay for playing sports, right? For all the positives you have, there has to be some negatives, right? And I'd say concussions are a huge negative.
Do you think that the school systems where we kind of grew up in, like, really, like, were really, like, cared about concussions? Or do you think that they brushed them off more? Because in my experience, I think my teachers, like, genuinely cared that I have a concussion and gave me a lot of grace. But I feel like you had a little bit of a different experience with that.
Yeah, well, I had some hard-ass teachers who are trying to, you know, make deadlines and keep courses on track, and I understand that, and I think everyone knows how severe a concussion is, and I honestly I'm not really in a position to talk about it because the memories of that time for me are a little hazy given how long ago it was.
Mm-hmm.
And I was definitely displeased with a couple of my teachers' actions, but I don't think it came out of malevolence. I think it came out of ignorance. You know, they didn't really know how I was feeling or what I was feeling, which I can't blame them for. Some of those teachers had never had one before, and they didn't really understand what was going on. And I don't think you really can understand until you have a concussion. It's one of those things you just kind of have to experience, you know. Mm-hmm. And you know, especially in the world of sports, it's kind of taboo to even talk about concussions because that's like a season, could be like a season-ending, you know, injury if it happens at the wrong time. And, you know, everyone wants to play. Everyone wants to be out in the field. So I think in that regard, I mean, I think the teachers cared. They just didn't really understand exactly what was happening to me and how I felt.
Yeah. I know certainly with my concussion, I really struggled to get my work done at the end of the school year, taking AP exams, partially concussed. And it was hard, but you know, you get through it. I had two concussions back to back. I recovered from one and immediately got a second in lacrosse. So, and then Kat got one right at the end of the same season, this past season. So it's definitely been a lot. Do you think that girls lacrosse should wear helmets, or girls sports that don't wear helmets because of the contact?
Well, I think that's a tough question. Like, if you look at the old seatbelt studies, the same amount of people died in car accidents after the seatbelt law was made like a required law. And that's because once you have protection like seatbelts, people started driving faster, more reckless. So you saw a lower rate of people dying in like single accidents, right? Like, you stayed in your seat and you would survive, but you saw a rise in pedestrian deaths, and the people who were dying in crashes were going a lot faster. So it's kind of a double-edged sword, right? If you put helmets on girls in lacrosse, I mean, in the short term,
does that up the intensity of the play?
I think it absolutely would, and I don't know if that's a bad thing. I think that y'all can totally handle the higher intensity play, right? You know, even though we're different, I think you're more than capable of handling it. I'm just not sure if that's something where everyone wants, in the direction that everyone wants to go in right now, because in the short term, it will reduce the type of concussion that you got. You got a concussion from getting hit in the head with a ball, correct?
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Right? Both times? Or what?
Yeah,
was
both.
So those kind of concussions would decrease very rapidly because obviously your head would be protected. Mm-hmm. And you can still get a concussion from getting hit with a ball, even with a helmet on.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
If you get hit hard enough, it'll ring your bell. You know, those balls are solid rubber.
Mm-hmm.
So you'd see a lot less, you know, injuries in that regard, but you'd see a lot more concussions from people falling down. See a lot more concussion from people getting hit in the head with like sticks. That'll give you a concussion.
Absolutely.
You know, I think the fact that no one's wearing a helmet keeps a lot of those, you know, swinging the stick around the head injuries a lot lower. And you know, getting hit in the head with the ball, you know, is that's just, you know, part of the game. And I think that they shouldn't right now put helmets on them.
Mm-hmm.
If the argument is strictly against concussions, because I don't think it's really going to solve the problem. I think, you know, it's very easy to get a concussion. Mm-hmm. You know, shaking your head around for too long, too hard, will give you a concussion. So I think if you up the intensity of the play too much with more padding, you're going to see a rise in injuries rather than a decrease.
Yeah.
But I mean, that remains to be seen whether or not people think that, you know, girls, they want to bring that sport up to that level, then I think that you should put the pads on. But if you want to keep it to where it's at and just lower the injury rate, I think less padding would be the way to go.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think it is important that there are measures taken to protect people like football players and more like the helmet development, you know, even the stuff like the Wear Lab that Virginia Tech works on to just like help so that degenerative brain disease, you know.
See, you're absolutely right.
Decreases and however.
The problem with helmets is that they don't solve the core issue of the concussion, which is the brain impacting the inside of the skull.
Right.
So in those real hard hits, it doesn't really, the helmet helps because it absorbs some of the shock of the hit. At the end of the day, you're still going to get a nasty concussion if you get hit hard enough.
Yeah.
And we've seen that time and time and again. I know there's some new technology coming out that can, you know, cool down the head after a big hit, you know, to stop the brain from swelling and stuff like that, which happens in concussions. But, you know, I think, you know, if we want to continue playing sports, I think it should just be known that that could be a consequence of playing a contact sport. You know, if you're going to play football,
you know,
getting a concussion is just in the realm of possibility. It's a risk of playing the game.
Yeah.
You know,
and you have a friend that has suffered many concussions and now has trouble remembering things. So that's, you know,
One of my brothers has had like 7 diagnosed concussions, and they weren't all directly from playing sports either. He had a couple. He was in a car accident. He was hit in the head in an accident on his farm, you know, just to name a few. And yeah, concussions are really nasty. They've really done a, you know, they've really changed, you know, how he is as a person. They fundamentally changed him. You know, I know he has some problems with, you know, short-term memory, and it's really sad to see. He's a young guy, you know, and just to see that kind of, you know, damage to his brain, it's sad at such a young age, but, you know, it's just part of life.
Yeah. All right, do you want to switch some gears? So can you describe one of your happiest memories?
Happiest memories?
Yeah.
Well, there's a couple.
You can do childhood. You could do now.
I mean,
you could
do more recently. Happiest memories is finding out you got into tech.
Aw.
That was awesome. I was really, really, I know you were nervous about it. You shouldn't have been, but you were. And I was really excited to hear that you got in, because I really wanted you to come to tech, you know, having to drive down every single break for the last, you know, 2 years by myself has been kind of rough, you know. Didn't like leaving you all behind, so I'm glad you're here with me on campus.
Yeah, we have a good time, you know. Chipotle Sunday night dinners and such.
Throwing it back maybe to my childhood, probably one of the happiest memories is...
If you say what I'm thinking I'm going to say, I'm going to flip.
I don't know if I am. I was thinking of the one time when I went to Harper's Ferry and saw that train.
That's not what I was thinking.
When I was a little kid, I really liked trains, and I got to see this train up close, and that was pretty cool.
With Grandpa?
With Grandpa.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
That's pretty cool.
I was hoping all day I would get to see a train, and then we were, like, kind of at the end of the day, and we weren't sure if we were going to see one, and then one came, like, roaring past, and it was just really cool.
Yeah.
So that was really fulfilling.
We always got to hike as a family, too, on parts of the Appalachian Trail, because our grandpa hiked the Appalachian Trail. So
that's pretty
cool.
What memory were you thinking of?
I was thinking about the, like, annual OBX beach trips.
Oh yeah,
where like
for sure.
Our whole dad's side of the family would rent out, you know, the big house at OBX, and we just all like spent a whole week together, like eating hot soup at the beach and taking hospital runs.
Yeah, people falling on the stairs, being hit by waves, cousins chasing ice cream trucks down the street, just crazy stuff.
You know, go-karts running over legs, all kinds of good stuff. It's just like every single year we'd come back with like crazy stories, and it like we don't get to see our cousins very often.
Now that we're all grown up, it's just, you know, those are all in the past. We can't really have a big vacation like that anymore. And,
you know,
those are some great memories.
Yeah,
some
really, that's definitely one of
some
my
memories that
childhood.
weren't like that great of a time at the time, but now that we look back at it, it's kind of funny. You know what I mean?
Yeah. We had good days, and we had not so great days.
Yeah.
I mean, some trips better than others from year to year, but certainly, you know, just bonding moments for the family.
Those are great
since
times.
Mom's side of the family is pretty small.
And they live out farther away.
So
that was a pretty good time.
Nice to connect.
Yeah, for sure.
Can you tell me, I don't really like that question. Do you have a favorite memory of me? I wonder if it's the one I'm thinking of. I love my favorite memory.
I don't know.
Me and you.
Maybe. My favorite memory of you and me is that one time when I thought it would be a great idea to flood
that's what I was thinking.
Train table.
Yes, that was exactly what I was thinking.
When I was like, you were like very young, like 2 years old, 3 years old, and I was like four. We were like right when we were about to move from Williamsburg to Loudoun County in Sterling, where we live now. They were, mom and dad were out in the garage trying to wax up our truck to sell it because Catherine was on the way. And we needed a bigger vehicle, and Cameron had spilled something from like one of those like hair spritzer like things, you know, those little spritzer bottles.
Yeah.
Started spraying it on like the train table, and it created a little puddle. And I thought it'd be a really great idea if we just filled the whole thing up with water. So we did that.
Oh no!
And we got in some big trouble.
There were holes in the train table.
So it was leaking out on the carpet.
All over the carpet.
And yeah.
Oh, that's exactly what I was thinking of. And
it got out of hand, and it was just bad. But it's funny. It's so funny now. Just thinking, like, what were we thinking?
We thought we were doing something really good. We thought we were going to play with our trains in the water.
Because like, we had the water tables in the preschool we went to.
Yes, we could
play with the boats and
the
stuff.
Water tables, and then there were the sand and, like, the rice tables.
Yeah, we thought that would be so fun if we just had our own inside the house. Because we never have to go to preschool again. I can just play with it here. I never have to go to preschool again. I was wrong. But, you know, that's how you learn, right?
Yeah, that's true. Another memory I like of us two is, like, you were, I don't know, like, senior year of high school, and I was a sophomore, and we always, like, would go get food after football games or after, like, lacrosse practice in your Bronco, and, like, we have the Bronco playlist now, and, you know.
Those are great memories.
Yeah, so Chris had a beloved car, the Ford Bronco.
Nice
green color. Yeah, we used to ride around in a lot when he was a senior and I was a sophomore.
Yeah, that was also a learning experience. We picked up an old Ford Bronco.
What year?
A 93. For like $3,500. And it was supposed to be my dad and I's project, but it turned into, we didn't have the tools or the knowledge. Well, he had the knowledge, but we just didn't really have the tools or the time to really fix it up like we wanted to. And then obviously our grandmother's health started slipping a little bit at that point, so our priorities changed, and we had to end up getting rid of it, which saddens me greatly till this day. I really loved that truck. It was a great time and have some great memories in it. You know, but that taught me a lot about patience, you know, just solving problems like the one ground ball at a time kind of deal. That truck played a huge role in, you know, making me the person I am today in regard to being patient, solving problems
when it would break down.
It was
often
old,
and ran out of gas. Want to talk a little bit about that?
Well, I did not look up the size of the gas tank before I bought it, and the gas gauge didn't work. So I was using the odometer to track gas mileage and roughly estimate how much gas I had in the tank based on how far I drove on the trip odometer. So I thought I filled up the tank when I put 16.5 gallons in it completely. and I was wrong. The tank held 32 gallons, so I was rolling on half the gas I thought I had. So when I hit about 100 miles on the trip odometer, I thought I still had 100 more to go before I could fill it up. And this truck got horrible gas mileage because it was a big V8 in the 90s. So it got like 9 or 10 gallons or miles per gallon. It was on some mud tires, so that didn't help. And you know, it's just an old motor, not very efficient. The fuel injectors were all leaky, so you know, you couldn't get a good spray, and it burned there was a lot of unburned fuel. The spark wasn't great, and neither was the compression, so you weren't honestly getting that great of a combustion. So a lot of raw fuel was coming out the exhaust, and so I ended up running out of gas. I was on my way to ironically go to a mechanic shop. I was just helping our neighbor, you know, clean out some of his parts bins. He owns a shop on the outside of our town, and I was on my way over to see him and do a little work for him for a couple bucks. And I ran out of gas right there in the middle of the road. And
a large road.
A large road, very large. I was probably going 55 miles an hour, even though the speed limit was 45. What can you do, right?
And no airbags in the Bronco.
No airbags.
Mr. Invincible, no, you know, life and then is precious.
When the engine dies, you know, you lose power steering, you lose power brakes, and I was rolling up on a red light, and I was like, fuck. I was really upset. That was some of the, like, I feel it now, like, the same feeling just rushing over, like, the tingling in the fingers and the hair standing up on your back and stuff, like, the spine tingling. And that was pretty scary. I honestly thought I was going to crash. Luckily, I was able to get into a turn lane, and some random dude pulled over with a gallon of gas, and the truck started right up. So, yeah, my mom had to come get me. She was not pleased. But other than that, like, that was a huge learning experience about, you know, one of our father's favorite lessons as well. You know, being prepared and double-checking things. I should have double-checked the size of the gas tank before I filled it up, and instead I didn't. Thought I knew how much gas was held in the tank, and I was wrong. So that was a great lesson as well.
Yeah.
Learning how to overcome that challenge by double checking.
Yeah, that's true. Always double check. Switching gears again. Do you have any regrets?
Nah.
Not a single regret.
I haven't lived long enough to have anything that I regret. I think at the end of the day, you know, there's small things here and there that you can say, oh, I regret doing this, I regret doing that. But I don't have anything that I could recall that would be, oh, you know, I think for the most part, decisions like that are a sunk cost. They've already been made. And you shouldn't let those decisions affect the decisions you make now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? Because that's just not a good way to live your life. And like, things that seem like a huge deal during the time that they're happening, you look back at it, you know, year, 2 years, 3 years later, and you just laugh at how stupid mm-hmm. you were back then, how mm-hmm. big of a deal it was, and how small it seems now. And I think that, you know, is the reason why I don't have any regrets. That, and I'm only 21, you know, I haven't had time to really screw up anything too bad yet.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not, you know, I don't have any serious regrets. I mean, I guess the smallest regret I had is, you know, the other day I ate a spicy chicken sandwich and I wasn't feeling the greatest. You know, I probably shouldn't have done that. Like, that's a regret. But other than that, you know, I'm pretty content with the decisions I've made in life so far.
Yeah. I think it's important not to regret your decisions because you made the best decision for yourself at the time.
You know, especially hindsight's 20/20. If you beat yourself up over something you... or a decision you made in the past, there's nothing you can do about that, right? Everyone makes mistakes. And I think it'd be unfair for anyone to judge someone on mistakes they made in the past. I mean, as long as they're not too serious. But for the most part, like, that's just, you know, you didn't know. You know, how are you supposed to know? No one's a genie.
Yeah.
And no one has a crystal ball they can see into the future with. So.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Ain't no point in relishing on mistakes like that.
That's true. Can you tell me a couple of things you want me to understand about you? Is there even anything? I feel like we're pretty close.
Yeah, we're pretty close. I'd say the biggest thing you should know is that I want to make sure that you don't make the same mistakes as I do. So if I like preach at you or, you know, give you advice, it's coming from a place of help. I'm not trying to be like overbearing or anything. I just don't want you to screw up because, you know, I had to make a lot of those choices and when I was your age and I didn't really have anybody to guide me. So,
that's true.
You know,
being the guinea pig is hard.
Time. I mean,
being the middle child's pretty good gig, I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah. Also, I really, really like Chick-fil-A chicken sandwiches. So if you ever upset me, the best way to make me feel better is to give me Chick-fil-A.
Spicy chicken?
Yeah, but I think you already knew that.
That's true. So maybe you repay for this interview.
Yeah, that ought to do it. Although I'm always happy to talk, you know that.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that brings me to my third point. You know, I'm always here for you. If you have a problem, my ears are always open. You know where my apartment's at. You're always welcome to drop by. And I'm never more than one phone call away, even, you know, when you were in Sterling and I was in Blacksburg. And I hope that us being here at college, you know, really helps our relationship, you know, get stronger as we get older.
I think so.
Because one day I'm going to move away to a different town and you're going to move away to a different town. Captain's going to move away. And, you know, I'd like to have our own family beach trips. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Like the ones
those
that we
are
had.
Just, except for like ours, hopefully won't be
except
quite as
horrible.
Except
ours will be
horrible.
Better because we're not as weird as our extended
That's
family.
That's true.
Are.
Our extended family. Well, hi, our extended family. If you ever listen to this, we love you all, but our beach trips were crazy. Okay. Well, that is interesting. I'm a little confused.
Just a van for.
Okay.
The cleaning services in the dorm. We're
back,
outside.
Back on track. Back
Cameron's
on track.
Roommate went to bed already, so now we're out here in the Behringer quad behind O'Shag here talking.
Pritchard
quad was too loud. Too many kids out right now, which is weird because it's a Monday night, but I guess I shouldn't be surprised.
How have your political views changed over time? Was there something specific that made you change, or have they changed at all?
Not really. I mean, I think, honestly, the only thing I've learned is that stuff like politics is way more complex than a right or wrong answer. And anyone who thinks that a complex issue can be solved with a black and white, we should do this, you know, is stupid. They clearly don't have an understanding. You know, most people who advertise thinking like that or just trying to make a buck off of someone who's not as smart as they are. And I think, I mean, in the long term, it's a rat race. And then, you know, like calling back to what I talked about earlier, you know, you make the best decisions you make in at the time. So like, especially nowadays, it's real easy to judge someone for what they've done in the past. And I think that all that does is harm, you know, public discord and stuff. You know, people change. You know, times change, opinions change, views change. And that's a good thing because
that's
that means
true.
That we're all evolving as a society. As we learn things as a society, we know, you know, we can mold the different moral standards and stuff. And I think that if you out someone for what they thought 15 years ago, you're intellectually weak because you're not able to see someone as a dynamic character. You see them as a static point in time, able to be judged for mistakes they made when they didn't really know any better. And I think that bugs me a lot. But honestly, I think, you know, if I've learned anything, it's that serious issues can't be, you know, solved with a campaign speech.
Yeah.
There's always more that goes into a problem than just the easy answer. So that would be how I feel about it. And I honestly don't think that there's any worth in worrying about it too much. If the world ends tomorrow, I'd be content. You know, what am I going to do to stop the world from ending? Nothing.
That's
probably
true.
Just die.
Well,
so I'm just going to enjoy every day like it's the last day.
That's true.
There isn't any point in being worried about anything besides what you have to get done in that point in time.
Is there anything else you want to talk about before we call it a night?
I just wanted to say shout out to my mom and dad for helping us be here.
Love you guys. And Kat.
Yeah, miss
all the way
you.
Back in Nova.
Hopefully we'll get a chance to see y'all soon. I don't know if anyone ever's going to hear this. But,
I don't know. Maybe, maybe not.
You know,
but
the internet is forever, so someone might dig this up in 30 years. You know, but, you know,
true. It's going in much. To StoryCorps, the largest collective human voices archive in the world.
Is that right?
Yes.
Huh.
Well, so wait, is there any way you want to be remembered in history? This is the year 3000. What do you got? What do you got?
The year, if it was the year 3000,
I would have to... Did you live underwater?
No.
Do you get the reference?
Yeah, I did get the reference.
Okay, sorry.
I did. I just don't want to think about
Everybody in the year 3000, look up the Jonas Brothers, listen to their song. Okay.
Yeah.
What do you got?
What do I got? year 2019 was pretty cool. Turned 21. Alcohol wasn't as good as I thought it was going to be, because I definitely waited till I was 21 to start drinking. And also, I'm definitely going to buy into the Bronco. So if my future self was listening to this, I hope you bought a Bronco and nutted up and really, you know, pursued that love of mechanics, because, you know, I know that's a big passion of mine. So, yeah, future self, nut up. If you haven't done it already, go ahead and do it. If you have done it, good for you. Also, you should probably, you know, write your little sister Cameron a card. So that's for my future self.
Aw. Well, I have to say, I love my family. I love my school. You know, we're out here living the dream. It's the 22nd of September. And
yeah, I don't remember the 21st. Sorry, Earth, Wind, and Fire. It was a big night last night.
And I think we're gonna call it a night, but
hopefully that's enough. Just remember, material for you to write your paper on.
I think it'll be great. Remember just to love others and love yourself and love your family. Amen.
All right.
This it? All right.
I think that's it.
Bye.